straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
You heard the lady on Second Thought, episode 126, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden, and I'm here with Taylor's favorite duck, Kirk Bowles. Duck, a quick show today. We're going to hit it and quit it. Good stuff on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. What do you want to talk about?
It's going to be Sid and the Duck unfiltered.
Unfiltered. No guests today. We got stood up by a couple of big names.
Yeah.
Not going to name them because they're going to come on later on.
Let's hope.
In the year.
Yeah.
Let's talk UT hoops.
We got to start with hoops.
K-State was as good as advertised, dog. Texas lost 71-64, dropped to 14-11, 6-6 in the Big 12. But they gave K-State all they could handle for all but about 5 minutes.
They did, and K-State's clearly the best team.
In the conference.
And I say that as a guy who picked Iowa State to win this. I think Iowa State is a lot more athletically gifted and explosive. But something about K-State, I mean, you got three seniors and two juniors, I think, started. Maybe one sophomore, but three seniors and one junior. That's a recipe for success in college basketball.
You know what they call that? They call those program guys.
Program.
You got guys that might play in the NBA, but they might not, but they're good enough to stick around. Dean Wade, Barry Brown Jr., Xavier
Sneed. Love Barry Brown.
Barry Brown. Those guys hit so many big shots. At one point, though, Duck, they had hit 9 of 11 shots in the second half. And I look up and Texas is down 64-60. That's how well Texas was playing.
Oh, yeah.
But
Texas was hitting its shots.
They just couldn't take care of the ball late. Snoop Roach turned it over 6 times. No assists.
0 for 5 from 3.
0 for 5 from downtown and just could not close. He couldn't do for his team what those other seniors did for their team.
No.
And that was the difference in the game.
And you know what? They're good shooters. If you watch them, some pure shooting, mid-range and long-range, you know, sometimes the net would barely move. They weren't like there was any luck involved, but they were good. And I've been impressed with them. Bruce Weber's done just a heck of a job. And, you know, I'm hoping they hold on and win this whole thing. They've got a 2-game lead over Kansas, whom they've already beaten. You know, Kansas is just hanging by their claws, only 2 games back. And easily
Bill Self's toughest coaching job he's had to go through in quite some time.
Yeah, he's
they're not great this year.
No, and Doak Abuke's been out, and Marcus Garrett's been out with an ankle injury. And then who else did? Oh, LeGerald Vick is gone for personal reasons
now. Is he depressed? What's going on with LeGerald?
I don't know. Bill Self's depressed with that kind of lineup. I mean, he's putting 4 freshmen out there. The last time he did that was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago when he had guys like Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid. He had some NBA talent. And so their freshmen are different than other freshmen. But, you know, that whole cliche, they play within themselves, which is a weird phrase. We hear it and use it all the time. But K-State does that. They're a good example.
Zero panic.
They're composed. They play calm. They're never really rushed.
And they weren't rattled. I just kept waiting on them to do something that road teams usually do, like have that like 3-minute little bout of jitters
laps
that allowed Texas to take over.
No jitters.
Even now, even when they got down 8 points in the first half, there was never a sense of panic or a sense of worry. I think Bruce Weber did a great job of taking away what was working for Texas. Remember the first half, Duck, when Matt Coleman and Snoop were getting to the bucket.
Getting in the lane.
Finishing.
Dribble penetration.
Getting layups. And Bruce Weber, who's a dyed-in-the-wool man-to-man coach, pulled his team out of man and put that zone in. He was mixing man and zone so well. And the next thing you knew, the Texas Longhorns, who are one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the conference, were reduced to a three-point shooting team. And those shots that were falling in the first half stopped falling. Jace Fabris couldn't buy one. Snoop couldn't take care of the ball. And they missed a golden opportunity to take a large step forward in their hopes of making the NCAAs. As it is now, they got some work ahead of them.
Yeah, that would have been huge. If they'd have won that, they'd be 7-5, two games over 500. Instead, you're 500. You're 6-6. It's a two-game swing when you lose like that. And it's an RPI game, you know, if you beat the first place Big 12 team, to put that on top of wins over Kansas and Baylor. So, yeah, it was a critical thing. And it's just, I'll go back to the composure. K-State plays so well in the half-court game. They adapt. They'll play zone on the road. Frankly, Texas ranks 9th in the Big 12 in three-point percentage.
Out of 10.
I'd have played zone all day long. And I'm surprised more teams don't play zone against Texas. Make Texas shoot you out of it, because they rely so much on that dribble penetration. Really good, quick, athletic guards beat your man off the dribble and then either get a layup or kick out to an open three.
I understand that argument, but you know what? If I'm 8-2 in the Big 12, I'm dancing with what brung me.
But they didn't. They danced partly with what brung them.
They did at first.
Yeah, but not all game.
And good coaches adjust, and that's what Weber did. He adjusted. Yeah. He realized that, man, these guys – we can't keep these guys in front of us.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods. I was like, man, if I'm Snoop Roach in the first half, I just put my head down and go every time. And he did. And that's what Snoop did.
He did a lot.
And they couldn't stop him. So guess what happened? They pulled that man. They backed it up, and they go beat us from outside.
You know, part of the problem is, we all know, especially in the college game, it comes down to guards. Especially in February and March.
Absolutely.
Texas got guards. The problem is, you got to kind of a sleepy-headed senior in Snoop Roach. You got a young sophomore in Matt Coleman, who's not an electric point guard.
No, he's steady.
He's steady, but
just
he's
like,
not.
Just like Shaka said when he came in here, yeah, Avery Johnson.
Right.
He's got some Avery Johnson.
Then you got Courtney Ramey, who's really terrific, but he's a freshman.
Gonna be really good.
So you got
good.
A freshman, a sophomore, and a senior who has these lapses.
And then you got Jace, who's just a stand-up three-point shooter. He's a one-trick
pretty much
pony.
A one-trick pony, and you know, but you're getting as much as you can probably out of Jackson Hayes, who's limited as a rebounder and offensively. He's great blocks. He's great at those alley-oop dunks. You got Dylan, who's playing very well. You wrote about him for the paper today. And, you know, again, playing within himself. He had a huge monster putback dunk.
It was nice.
You know, he's not roaming out in the perimeter that much. He can hit a shot out there occasionally.
But he's shooting 23%
from
that. Yeah,
and you don't want him shooting much out there. Maybe once or twice a game, if that.
And unlike last year, he's finally realized, I'm not a knockdown three. I'm not a stretch four.
No.
I'm a four.
And
I need to play more like it, get closer to the bucket. I think he's realized that.
Well, he should have realized it last year.
But he
didn't. So should Shaka.
Oh, I know.
The coach should realize that. They should say, Cedric, you plant your butt down that paint. If I see you out there, I'm pulling you on the bench.
And they did it. A couple of times they did pull him last year, and he goes back out there and he jacks up another three.
Well, that's maturity.
That goes to coaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Shaka's just going like, you know what? I'm just going to sit your butt. And this year it's kind of clicked. I think it's the fact that he knows his college career is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't view him as an NBA prospect.
No, I don't either.
He's a guy that might go overseas and make himself a lot of money.
Yeah.
But he knows that as far as being a star in America,
yeah,
this is going to be it for him.
Does
so,
everybody go overseas and make a lot of money?
Well, I know a lot of people do.
Why don't you and I go overseas then?
We can't play.
Oh, right.
We
I forgot.
Can't play.
You left that part out.
Brooke McCarty is overseas making money. The women's guard, she's making money overseas.
I just think of how many college basketball players are and how few make it to the NBA.
It's a very
small
percentage.
I'm thinking, boy, that must be kind of almost delusional to think, well, I'll go to Spain or Italy or Greece and make me a fortune.
Well,
usually, don't they have rules? You have two Americans?
Oh, yeah. And you look at how Snoop Roach was he went to that camp, and he was basically humble. They told him, come back with a jump shot.
What about Zay?
Yeah, and Zay, yeah, same thing. Same
right,
thing.
Right.
Isaiah, same thing.
Right.
So there's a difference between a really good college player and an NBA player.
Very much
it's
so.
I think the gap is a lot closer for NFL, more roster spots, so therefore more of a chance
right,
to make it. But NBA, that is more exclusive. 12
right,
spots on a roster. And you think you're going to make it? That's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. So let's review here. Texas, 14-11, not very good. Three games over 500. That's very precarious. 6-6 in probably the conference with the number one RPI. Very good reputation. It's just, you know, you're kind of on the edge of making it, and you're on the edge of disaster. But I don't know. Tell me how you think the schedule plays out. They've got Oklahoma State coming to town on Saturday. That's a must win.
That's a win. They got to win that.
Go to Oklahoma. That's a coin toss.
Tough game. Tough
coin
game,
toss,
Lloyd Noble. Tough.
Rival game there. Although that's probably maybe the worst home court advantage in all of the Big 12.
Yeah,
probably
they're not
Norman.
Great. They're not great.
They're over there wondering when spring training is. So then they go to Waco. You know, Baylor's going to want a little payback.
Rivalry game. Baylor always plays better at the house.
Mason may be better than, you know, limited to 23 minutes when Texas beat him here in Austin. Then they host Iowa State.
Coin toss. Iowa State's really good. They got after Iowa State.
Oh, they did.
There.
They could have won that.
They should have won that. Iowa State hit some ungodly shots.
Right.
They play a lot of hero ball, Duck. And if you don't know what that is, that means that sometimes when you're at home, you have some guys that do things like take 25-foot jumpers early in the shot clock and they go in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a double-edged sword. Those kind of shots don't fall on the road, so I'd give Texas a good
chance. It's kind of like we talk about the NBA. The bench always plays better at home
than they do on the
road. The
same with college. So I think Texas has a good chance to get that upset.
Okay.
There.
Then after Iowa State, they go to Lubbock. That's their last road trip of the regular season.
That's a beehive.
That's dangerous. And they finish home game against TCU on March the 9th. So, they're 6-6. Oklahoma State, we're going to give them a win on that. I'm going to give them a win at Oklahoma.
I am too, dog.
Okay.
I am too.
And then lose at Baylor.
Yes.
I'm going to say beat Iowa State, lose in Lubbock, beat TCU. That means you win your last three home games.
That means you go 4-2 down the stretch, dog. That means you're 10-8.
No, you're 9-9.
I mean, you're 9-9 in the Big 12.
And you get in.
Of course you get in.
Because you've beaten K-State, Kansas, Baylor, and you would have beaten Iowa State.
What are they in the Big 12 right now?
They are, what, about sixth place?
You know what? Their record is 6-6, you
six
said?
6-6, yeah. They're
so
in sixth place.
1, 2, 3, 4. You're saying they're 4-2 down the stretch.
Yeah.
That's 10-8. That's
no,
not
3-3
nine.
And three down the stretch.
You got them beating Oklahoma State.
Oh, I do.
You
got to
beat OU. You got to beat Iowa State. And you got to beat TCU.
Okay, so
that's 4-2. That's 10-8. That gets them in for sure.
All right. Say you get rid of. Let's see.
Oh, you're trying to give them a loss now. Come on, quit hating, Bolt.
No, I've got them in. I've had them in the tournament.
You're trying to give them another loss now that you figured out they're 10-8. You don't think that they're a 10-8 Big 12 team, do you?
No.
Be honest.
I don't
either.
I think they're
a 500
team.
Yes.
I think they're 99.
So you're
team.
Looking here to see who's going to beat them.
So
it's
maybe
probably
the
Iowa
State probably at home or at Oklahoma. Because I had them losing at Baylor at Texas Tech. So, but 99 gets them in. Right now, Lunardi's got them as a 9 seed, playing 8 seeded Syracuse. That's always a coin flip. And then if you win that game, you might be against number 1 Gonzaga.
I saw Gonzaga last week.
What'd you think?
Scary good.
They are scary good.
They're good at like every position.
They're men, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're another program team. Bunch of senior guys, good big guys, guys that can shoot.
Nobody sees them on TV. Mm-mm. They play too late.
They happen to be on at like 10:30 at night the other night. I was making my grown man soup at the house, and I was listening to it. I went to the bathroom. They were up like 12. I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and they were up 24.
Man, shouldn't have gone to the bathroom. It was a lot.
It was a quick trip to the bathroom. So
maybe this is the year Gonzaga has been, you know, they've gone way past the Cinderella
I say it every year, and I'm so afraid to pick them every year.
Maybe this is the year, though. This is the year. It's not as strong yet. Look at Duke. Duke was getting killed by Louisville, losing by 23, come back and win.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there's a great team. In
there
college
isn't.
Basketball.
There isn't.
Tennessee won, Rick Barnes won 18 in a row.
I don't know that Duke shoots it well. I don't know that Duke shoots it well.
They're not
enough
a good shooting
tournament.
Team.
I don't know.
Really not. And that's hard to turn on and off. So now you look at the conference, K-State, 2-game lead over Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, K-State hosts Iowa State. Big, big game. And Kansas hosts West Virginia. So I'm sure Kansas is thinking whole court. Hope they get some help from Iowa State, and then they're 1 game back with like 5 to play.
Aren't you ready for someone else to win the Big 12?
Oh, definitely. I think the league is.
K-State got a piece of it in 2013, but
well,
does that really
Texas
count?
Has tied them before, too.
Yeah.
I just think it's better for the league if somebody else wins it. I think some people go, well,
you got the number one RPI in college basketball. That means someone else, one of those other nine teams, she needs to step up and knock off Kansas and make things more competitive from a national focus, I think.
Yeah. So put a lid on the Horns. What do they need to do better these last 3 weeks of the season?
Take care of the ball, number one.
Right.
Finish games, number two. And they've done that. They did that against Baylor, and they did that at West Virginia. They were right there with K-State. They need to finish games. And like I wrote in today's paper, they're not going anywhere if their leadership doesn't step up. Snoop Roach has to play like a star, and Dylan Oskakowski still needs to give them a little bit more offensively. He's given them the effort and the toughness they need underneath, but he needs to give them a little bit more offensively.
And is Courtney Ramey the X factor? If he can keep this going, his momentum, he had the springboard game at 19 against West Virginia on the road. If he can keep this going, make some progress, and have three guards you can rely on.
And it's a guards game.
That would be big time for them. So I think you know, their confidence is pretty good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But still lots of hay to put in that barn.
Duck, were you surprised that Kyler Murray decided to play football instead of taking that $4.5 million to go play for the Oakland A's?
Not one iota. Not one iota.
Go follow your dream, kid.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do. If you want to be a 5'9 NFL quarterback in 2018,
yeah,
go do it.
Sure, why not?
You're 21 years old. Never settle. Never settle. If you want something and you think you're good enough to go do it, even if you don't think you're good enough and you think you might be good enough, why not try?
This is a football craze country. You're going to have all the attention. You're going to be the franchise, the face of a franchise, the franchise quarterback. And is there a better chance that you're going to be Baker Mayfield or you're going to be Ken Griffey Jr.? And I think most everybody said Baker Mayfield. He won the Heisman just like Baker did. I like this kid. I think he's almost 5'10".
No,
it's a little too
almost,
small.
But not quite.
He's a little small, but you know, he doesn't get hit. I was talking to Jake Spavital, the Texas State new head coach, and he said he knows how to protect himself, and that's
big.
He better.
Because he's not 195.
We didn't see him get smacked, you know, at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw this stat. He only had five balls batted down, which was
Big 12.
One of the best They're still big guys.
I know.
You know, so why are you hating on there? All right.
Because the Big 12 rushes three and drops eight. There's not a whole lot of guys to be batting the balls down when three guys are rushing against five linemen.
Can he be a star in the NFL?
I don't know. Duck, I don't know.
Yeah.
He can play. He's shorter than Doug Flutie. I mean,
and
Doug Flutie came out in 1984. The offensive linemen are bigger 35 years later than they were in 84. The average offensive lineman is 6'6" in the NFL. And I mean, those are just big guys. The average quarterback is 6'5".
Yeah.
And so
that's who everybody wants.
They want those measurables. They want the Joe Flacco, the Tom Brady, the 6'4", 220-pound tank. But then you have those guys, Duck.
Mm-hmm.
You have those guys that don't fit into that square peg, round hole, whatever you call it. You have a Russell Wilson at 5'11". You have a Drew Brees at 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield ain't that tall. Mm-hmm. There are some small guys that have gotten it done in this league. And of all those guys I just mentioned, none of them are nearly as electric as far as feet as this kid. He's one of the fastest. He reminds me of Michael Vick.
He's
got that kind of quick twitch muscle, muscle memory type stuff. So can you make a career out of this? Can you be that guy for 8 to 10 years? That's the question.
The one thing I give him, too, is that he's not really – I don't think he'll be looking to run. He can run. I don't think he's Lamar Jackson. I don't know if Lamar Jackson's ever going to be a solid, consistent, decent to high percentage passing.
He's
got to
learn how to throw the football.
Kyler's already got that.
He can throw it.
He can throw into tight windows.
He can chunk it.
He really can. He's got a good arm. He gets rid of it.
He can throw on the move.
He can extend plays, mm-hmm. which is what it's all about in the NFL. So I give him a chance. My question to you, you're Arizona, okay? Cliff Kingsbury has said at one point in time. I'd take him with the first pick. Well, now's your chance, big boy.
He just backed off of that and said,
no,
Josh Rosen's our guy.
Which he has
he's
to.
He's on your team. Of course he's your guy.
He has to. So,
but you got a chance.
But forget Arizona a second. Whatever, you know, Jacksonville needs a quarterback, Miami Dolphins, the Giants, whoever. If you had that first pick or could trade up and you need a quarterback, would you take him?
I just don't know that I would.
Would you rather take a Dwayne Haskins?
Absolutely.
I would too.
A bigger guy.
It's just such a risk.
Probably just as good a passer. I mean, he's got a nice arm. Just physically a bigger guy. Could take a bigger pounding. It's a big man's game, Duck.
Yeah.
It is a big man's game. And I, as much as I like Kyler, man, I just don't know that I could spend a first-round draft pick. You talk to your boy Lance Zuerlein, and he says Kyler Murray's a first-round pick.
He likes him. He says he's got some mechanical flaws. Sometimes his balls sail a little bit, and he's severely undersized was the phrase he used. But he says he's the most elusive guy in the pocket that these pass rushers are ever going to see. And like you said, he's got that quick twitch fiber that makes him so explosive. So,
if I'm a team that really needs a quarterback, and Jacksonville comes to mind big time, Bortles is just horrific. I'd go Haskins first.
Yeah.
I just would.
How about weather?
Or even the Oregon guy, Herbert.
Well, he's not coming out.
He's not coming out?
No, he's coming back for senior year.
I didn't know that.
Guy, Jones, is a bigger guy.
I haven't seen enough of Jones.
Right.
I saw him once last year. You know, we cover the Big 12, so I've seen a lot of Kyler. I saw Haskins 3 or 4 times last year and was impressed with him. He could move a little bit. He's not a runner. Contrary to what Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What was that? Do your homework, Stephen A.
He doesn't watch much college football.
And he needs to quit talking about it.
Uh-huh.
If you don't watch it, don't talk about it. Talk about the pros. Talk about the NBA. Yeah. That's your wheelhouse. Don't talk about it if you ain't watching.
Here's another question I got. Would he be better suited if Kyler Murray was drafted by an indoor team or a southern team? Because he's not used to playing in cold weather. Could that... and the combination of his size be deterrence for him?
I don't think people worry about weather anymore, Duck. I really don't.
I did with Johnny Manziel. No, I thought Johnny needed to be indoors.
You think about an arm, though. You think about a guy that's trying, like Green Bay, you're asking him to throw in that weather, outdoors,
Buffalo,
places like that.
Giants have said they probably wouldn't take him.
No, because, trying to throw through those harsh winds in January, December. But I don't know that teams worry as much about whether the Giants are in the market for a quarterback, dog.
Yeah.
But I bet they don't take Kyler Murray.
Yeah, it didn't sound like they're too keen on it. I could see him in Jacksonville or Miami.
I would hope a warmer climate.
Yeah. Maybe Denver, but they just got Flacco.
And you know what? The it's not like it was back in the day when Aaron Rodgers was sitting behind Brett Favre and Romo behind Bledsoe. Nowadays, they want these kids playing right away. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Baker, those guys playing as rookies. So whoever takes him, they're going to play him right away. And so, why sit him? Let's find out if you're good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jacksonville, with that good offensive line, and if they figure things out with Fournette or sign Le'Veon Bell, I don't know which one they would do.
No, he's going to the Texans.
Is he?
Yeah, they're going to get him and Antonio Brown both.
If they do that, then maybe, just maybe, you play him right away and find out what you got.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're a GM. Do you take him first round? I've already said probably not.
I would take him in the first round just because there's such a premium and he's played at such a high level in college against good competition. So, yeah, I don't think I'd have any problems taking him in the first round. I don't know if I'd take him with the very first pick. Further down, maybe, but boy, it's a lot riding on. You're the first pick of the draft. So I like you. I think he'll probably slide a little bit to a Miami or Jacksonville, something like that. Maybe Denver, which just got Joe Flacco in a trade. Maybe they take him a little bit further down and see – let him and Flacco battle it out.
Real quick, your boy Antonio Brown, a member of your fantasy league football team, requested a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Who's at fault here? Does Antonio Brown need to just grow up? What do you think's going on there?
I'd put most of the blame on Antonio Brown. He's a diva. He's high maintenance. He's not happy when he doesn't get the ball. He doesn't mind, complaining to coaches or Big Ben. So It's the classic case of needs a change of scenery. Yeah, I think he can still play another, you know, 3 to 5 years and probably play at a high level. I'd love to see him go to Dallas or Houston, somebody that could really use another threat, you know, at wide receiver. So, but yeah, I think he'll get a lot of offers, my guess is. But they're saying he may not get a first rounder because he's about 31 mm-hmm. and all the off the field shenanigans.
He's old. He's up there.
Man, if I could get Antonio Brown on my team for a second or third round, I'm taking it up in a second.
And the Texas Longhorns got invited to the combine, five guys. Which one of those guys most intrigues you? I'll go little Jordan Humphrey.
Okay.
I wished he had come back because it would have been fun to see he and Colin and Sam Ellinger for another year together. I understand why he left, but he's a big receiver. He's not going to get much faster. Mm-hmm. I think he may blow away the competition and strength, and he's going to run well. Plus, I think he's stronger. I think he's going to throw mm-hmm. up by 25 right. on that bench press. Your boy Zuerlein said 4th to 7th round?
Yeah, because unless he can crack 4.6, if he can crack 4.6 or lower, mm-hmm. you know, in the 40, then he can kind of prove himself because he always wants speed. I'm like you. I'm a big little Jordan fan. He's versatile. He's big. He's physical. Makes clutch catches. Can return kicks. Do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the same bandwagon. I always like Chris Boyd. I think it's like Quandre Diggs. You got to have some dog in you.
And he's
I
got
think
some.
Chris Boyd's got that. Maybe more than he should. But he does get flagged a lot downfield for pass interference. Can lose track of his guy in the ball. But,
Lance sees him as a safety, right?
Yeah, probably a safety. But, you know, he's physical enough. He can. He's a willing tackler, as Lance called him. And he's got attitude. He's got a toughness and a grit to him. So I think somebody will probably get Chris Boyd a little cheaper than he wants, but I think he could flourish in the NFL.
That will do it for episode 126 of On Second Thought. For the Duck, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.